New year, new look, new page.
You bet you kick your bitch.
You can sell this for $1 million, cause I'm gonna be famous.
So when in doubt, you kiss Craig?
Most girls on the planet look like this. Did you flip a switch and erase me from your memory?
You just walked down on a date with one of the grass's coolest girls for your mom's pasta sauce.
You gave me a social disease.
Face the lines up.
Hey fellow Degrassi holes, and welcome to Last Shift at the Dot. Here we'll talk through Degrassi the Next Generation from beginning to end, talking about the episodes, the characters, the actors, and the drama. We're going to give you what you came for. Who here is ready to do whatever it takes?
Oh, I am!
So today we are talking about season 2, episode 12 and 13, White Wedding, which is the riveting story of Spike and Snake getting married. Before we dive in, I'm going to pose a question to everyone around the room. And I actually couldn't for the life of me come up with a question for this episode. So I enlisted Tasha's help, which will be evident in 2 seconds when I pose the question. So first, tell us your name, tell us what you're drinking, and tell us of any experiences you have with a stripper. Did you hire one? Did you go to a bachelorette party with one? We need to know. Tasha will tell the story for both of us. So I'm Nina, your host, and I am drinking orange wine today because it's 105 degrees and I needed something refreshing.
Ooh.
And so I'll leave it to you guys, and Tasha will tell both of our stripper stories in a way she can.
I'm Morgan. I am drinking a vodka soda with a splash of tonic. And I don't really have a fun stripper story. I've been trying to, I want to go. Oh, well, actually I do. Okay,
there's
so
one.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. So years ago, I didn't even get to the strippers, but years ago, one of my favorite cousins, like we grew up together, we had a family reunion, and this family reunion was in a
generic place in somewhere.
Yeah, where I lived at that time. And my cousin was there and didn't live in the area, and we were having a great time. My cousin's a lesbian, so we're having a good time. We're having a great time. We're dancing and everything. She comes up to me and she's like, hey, what do you want to do tonight? And I'm like, well, you know, I don't know what's up. And she's like, you want to go see some titties? Let's go see some titties. So I shared that story with people in college, and let's go see some titties was something that kind of like trailed me forever. But me and my cousin didn't see some titties that night. We should have, but I was like, nah, I'm good. Like, I don't even think we were of age. Like, we were of age to see some titties, so I don't know where she was gonna find them. But that's the one stripper story. I really want to go to a good strip club. I found one on Yelp. Well, I found one on Yelp, so we should go. And they have like a really good brunch or something. I was telling someone, they have like really good music.
Don't eat there.
The Eggs Benedict are top notch.
No, but this place, the reviews were like, they have a really good brunch and they have good music. So brunch and titties, let's do it. Yeah, so I mean, let's go see some titties has haunted me for a while.
That sounds like a JT quote, like if I ever heard one.
Sorry, JT. So hey, I'm Stefan. I am drinking Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Rye, Tennessee Rye Whiskey. And my stripper story goes also to college. First off, I have a good couple random ass stripper stories. We're just gonna start there. There's a couple, but the one that's on my mind the most was spring break. It was me and some friends, and we went to spring break in New Orleans, y'all.
Oh.
And decided to walk into the only strip club that didn't have a cover. That should have been sign number one. So we go into said strip club. This is my first strip club. I'm already drunk because if y'all have ever had a hand grenade, y'all have had a hand grenade. So after some hand grenades and some hurricanes, wander through somehow, and like we're sitting around. Of course, it's overpriced ass drinks, 2-drink minimum, and that's why there's no cover. But there's this bitch going on the pole, like she's at the top, she is spinning round and round, and I'm like, why aren't people crowding around? And then when she stops for a second, she looked like she just had a mammogram. Those boobs were flat. They were squished flat. And they weren't like A cup flat. They were like, they used to be big, but were squished.
Oh,
it was like, it was, they were pancake titties. And as pancake titties, what's that?
I was just thinking maybe, okay, no, this is weird. I'm not going to say. Do y'all know where I'm going with this? Because let me just shut up. Keep going.
Are we going to talk about mammograms?
No, but it's just something stupid I don't want to discuss.
Okay, you started this though.
I was just like, maybe she's a mother and she's been breastfeeding. I heard that their boobs get really like deflated after that.
Really?
Yes. I was like, she's definitely breastfeeding. Okay, this is dumb.
I just love that you were like, why is no one standing up? Like, shouldn't we all be on our feet? And like,
standing on a pole. Right, why is no one hype?
Like, she was doing some tricks too. Like, I wasn't like, I see those tricks on like P-Valley. Like, But no one was like giving her dues because she had some flat tits.
But
and
think
then,
about it. If she had some balloon ones, she probably wouldn't have been able to do all that.
Yeah, but they were flapping. Like, that's the thing is, like, with what she was doing, they were, like, flapping. And I went, like, I think they would have hurt because they were just, like, slap, 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 slap.
Bless her. She needed a bandeau.
I'm not even done with the story. Sorry. Let me we're there. We're sitting down. Pancake Titties is doing her thing. And then this woman who must have been in her late 50s, early 60s, hair stark white, like very snow-covered hills, comes up and it's all like, hey, do you want a lap dance? And I'm like, or no, I think she wanted me to, yeah, she wanted a lap dance, she wanted me to take you to the champagne room. And I'm like, no thank you. No thank you, madam. And she's like, you sure? I'm like, no, I'm pretty gay. She's like, yeah, it doesn't matter, I don't care, come on, let's do this. And I'm like, I'm good. I forget the whole conversation, but I remember her name was Stormy, and no, she was not Stormy Daniels. She was definitely trying to make some after hours money.
You know, it's a hustle.
It doesn't matter.
Hustle like the movie Hustlers. Yeah. Hustle about strippers.
I admire the art though. Like, I couldn't, but I wish I could. I took a couple of pole dancing classes. There's a place down the street from me. I took a couple of them. I was so sore the next day.
It looks so fun, but like I've never done any sort of maneuver like that. If I attempted it, I'll just crack my head.
Your whole body up, excuse me, and then have your like. I want to do it though. I'm gonna learn one day.
It looks really fun. I just feel like I have no upper like body strength. Like I've never been able to do like a pull-up.
No.
So like, how am I gonna lift myself and like spin the fuck around? Like it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I can't even do a push-up. But I mean, during the pandemic, I seriously thought about getting a pole because I was like, I'm here, might as well. But yeah. Then I was like, if I die, like if I fall and hurt myself, I'm screwed. Like, so I didn't.
But they have like all the videos of like the home installation like fails. And that's what scared me because I had the same idea. I was like, this could be fun. Like we have a house. And then I was like, I saw so many people just like fall and injure themselves because they didn't like screw the thing in to the ceiling. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of my good friends, her stepmother had a pole. And yes, when we went over drinking at her place, we played on the pole all the time.
I would be on that all the time if like someone had it in their home.
Mm-hmm. Bitch had her own fucking tanning bed.
Great lady.
She was limited to life. Limited to at limited 45.
fun person.
But yes, now tell us y'all stripper story. We're very curious.
I'm ready.
It's not super crazy, but my name is Natasha and me and Mia are indeed related. But a few months ago, we did go to one of my friend's bachelorette parties and I was one of her bridesmaids. So we were very involved in planning it out. Of course, the one thing that like I had to plan out was just like finding a stripper. Like that was trusted with me. And I was like, I've never been to a strip club before, but I was like, I'm up for this task. So Nina and I did some research. We found this place called FloridaHardBodies.com. They're mad good.
Yeah.
So like, I did like a little form, sent it in. So I started working with this like stripper coordinator who was texting me. I think his name is Tony. And he's like, okay, like what dates are you looking for? And I asked him, I was like, oh, are we able to give like special requests? Like, are there themes, i.e. Star Wars? Because my friend really wanted, what did she want? A Chewbacca stripper? I can't do a Chewbacca stripper, but we had a very realistic like Darth Vader mask. So that we've had since high school. Nina had the Darth Vader mask and I had a Jar Jar Binks mask. And like, that was our lazy Halloween costume when we were in like middle school and high school. So we still have that mask with us. So I asked the guy about the themes and he's like, we do police, firefighter, and sharply dressed man.
Sharply dressed?
Yes.
I was like, can we do sharply dressed man in a Darth Vader mask if I supply it? And he's like, yes, we can do that. So we get to the bachelor weekend. Earlier that day, we were at Hollywood Studios and going on all the Star Wars rides. We got super freaking lit at the cantina.
Yeah. Like, get lit, talk shit.
I want to go to the cantina.
Is an experience. Like, we actually like lived the Star Wars cantina life where we were messy and loud, and we kept getting like more and more like we managed to find the only like shots drink that they serve in space, I guess, and then like all of the cocktails. So by the time we got back to the Airbnb, we were like shit-faced and just immediately changed into pajamas.
She legit like just gets in her pajamas and she doesn't know that this is happening, so we all get in our pajamas like little nerds. And he comes on through and I meet him outside, and I was outside and I like met up with him. I gave him the mask and I told him, I was like, can you march to the Imperial? To the Imperial. Oh, God. I was like, I have it set up on my Bluetooth speaker, and has it. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. He's like, how long is that song? Like, I don't know, like 3 minutes. He's like, oh, okay, it's fine. He's like, but I have to play my music too. And I was like,
oh, he's like, I'm ready. He's like, I want my playlist on. Playlist.
Yeah. So our stripper Cisco was really lovely, mm-hmm. and it was an interesting experience.
He did come in with the Star Wars mask. He did the march. I don't think he's ever seen Star Wars in his life, because he was like, I do not know what this character
like
does. He's just like,
not do his prep work.
Yeah, and he's like, do I take someone hostage? And we're like, close enough. Whatever. But the bride was just like confused. Like, she had no idea what was happening until he took off his clothes and put her mask on. Let's get into this episode. Now that we all introduced each other, our dear Perino is not here today.
R.I.P.
But he'll be back. Yeah. Teacher, yeah. PTA.
Yeah, they do it in Miami, like, sometimes.
He's doing it with Derek's dad.
Yeah.
Derek's mom and dad.
Officer Turner.
God, this episode. Okay, let's start it. Part one. We begin in media immersion. And
just the disdain of starting it.
The only fucking class these kids ever take. And
I thought the same thing.
Snake is distracted. He's like messing up on questions, blah, blah, blah. And we realize that he's getting married tomorrow. And he gives a little speech about love and finding the one you're supposed to be with. And JT is just like, yawn, I hate this shit. Manny's like, grow up, because Manny loves love. And then Sean randomly makes a comment about like, well, JT, you've never been in love, which is just weird for Sean.
And then I made a note that Toby's like, oh, and you've been in love? Like, Toby, yeah. Have you been in love? Like, shut up. Like, yeah.
Toby's been in love with his left hand.
Manny calls Sean out and she's like, oh, who were you in love with? Emma? And that's kind of where it starts. And then, like, you know, cut to Emma. She's running around in a frenzy because she's home from school. There's a lot of shit to do for the wedding. And she's like grabbing homework, grabbing clothes, grabbing food. And Spike is being very quiet and sullen. We see her like holding a medicine bag. She says she has a headache. And Emma's like, take your medicine on the way. We gotta, like, you know, get through this checklist of stuff. So once they get to school, we see more of Spike looking pensively at this medicine bag, and it's like, is she dying? Could we ever be so lucky? No, cut the credits. So,
but like, real quickly, like, Emma, I know Emma's the quote unquote maid of honor, but she's not. We all know she's not the real maid of honor. And no. if you made a 12-year-old, you're maid of honor.
You're an idiot.
I mean, like, she literally did it because she didn't want to hear the shit. You know what I mean? She's like, oh, will you be my maid of honor? And then she went to Caitlin and Lucy and were like, hey, can y'all take this
chance of having to hear from it though? And when she took the car, she was just like so in a frenzy.
Yeah.
Like, I saw the look that Spike gave to that bag. She was like, no. What if it's another Emma?
She's like, yeah.
I can't do this twice.
She's like, fuck me.
But don't. Please don't fuck me. Yeah, I can't have
that's
another
how
one.
I got here.
After the credits, Emma's in the school. She's running around, like, she's dropping off homework and stuff. And Manny's like in troll mode this episode. It's kind of funny because she's just like, hey, like, guess what? Like, Sean's still in love with you. Just, like, out of nowhere. And
yeah.
What are you talking about? And Manny's like, you should invite him to the wedding. Like, it seems so out of left field. And Emma is even like, no. But then also, what did you hear? Like, she's still intrigued. Mm-hmm. And Manny's like, oh, I don't know. So, like, Manny's bored today.
Her- Two episodes ago, Manny got her heart broken. So, mm-hmm. she went through sadness.
Yeah.
And now she's on the phase of, like, anger. If I can't be happy, no one can.
She's definitely recovered very well. Like, I was like, you know what? I'm so proud of her because she's not in her feelings anymore. She still believes in love. She's like, I'm going to keep it pushing. Fuck that guy. And
yeah,
I'll do fuck that guy. But either way, yeah, it's like she's doing a great job. So yeah. She was just so cute in this episode. I was really proud of her.
She was fun. And I mean, we needed Manny's energy this episode because brings it down. So, I mean,
she's a sorbet. She's a sorbet between courses. You know, she's a palate cleanser.
Yeah, because between, like, as we get further into this, it's like you need the Manny weird slapstick humor that they have her doing this episode to break things up. So we have JT and Toby. And I don't know why anyone listens to JT at this point, but JT is explaining to Toby, the only person who will listen, that if there's a wedding, there's a stag party. If there's a stag party, there's a stripper. And even though these two have never interacted with Joey Jeremiah before, they feel entitled, I guess, to be at this party. So they go up to Craig, barely knows they exist. They suggest we should get a stripper. Craig is horny. He's a teenage boy. So he's like, yeah, we should get a stripper. Like, no connections made. So they go to a strip club. Like, this is all happening very quick, by the way.
Also, yeah, he calls them JP and Tony. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't even know their names, but yet he's
not
like,
know them. Like,
all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
I mean, when has he ever had any interaction with JP and Tony before this?
He doesn't really interact with them much later ever in this series either. Like, he is separate. So the three of them go to a strip club. They meet the security guard or whatever, and they say that they're here for Fancy, who is a stripper that they saw like on a flyer or something. They're turned away because they're 13. And so they realize they need a plan B. So plan B is to approach Joey directly. Craig tries to make some analogy between like chips and a boring stag party. Joey eventually catches on and says he's been forbidden from getting a stripper, but it does not take much twisting of his arm to be like, yeah, you know what? We should get a stripper because it'll embarrass Snake. So he agrees.
And he's like, we'll blame you.
You know what's really interesting about cultures? So in the Northern United, or not the United States, in North America, you either say bachelor or bachelorette party, or you say stag party, but you do not say a hen do, which is the other one for a bachelorette party. Like, why don't, like, outside of the U.S.
Yeah.
Or outside of the U.S. and I guess outside of Canada, they say hen do.
And I think it's so cute. Like, my hen do.
No, got your stag and your hen, since we're all, you know, animals.
Yeah, like my hen party. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think just wanted to note that Angie is going to grandma's again. So shout out to Grandma Jeremiah, because she's doing like the heavy lifting this season, watching Angela like every other day, it seems.
Truly.
Like, she's always at grandma's.
I also made a note how they really like wanted Angie to be like, I'm going to grandma's, like, really excited. Like, there's gonna be rated X things here, so the child needs to go to grandma. I'm like, y'all are bowling. You're not doing anything crazy, but
the thing is, I feel like if they didn't do that and they just didn't acknowledge Angie the way they normally don't acknowledge Angie, people would have been like, is there a child upstairs while the stripper's here?
Well, she go to bed. Go in your room. The kids
go to sleep
at 8 p.m. Exactly.
Kids
yeah.
Go to sleep at 8 p.m.
Go to bed. She's not going to hear any of this shit. Put on her music, her Mr. Little Einsteins or whatever, and then...
Yeah. I think they also probably are contractually obligated to give her a line every couple episodes because Mama Steele really wants that money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, momagers don't play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely like a show mom, I would think, since both her kids ended up on the show. back at the Nelson household, Spike is giving Emma a perm. Again, questionable behavior, but after she sets the perm, she says, you know, wait 20 minutes. I'm going to go upstairs and take a shower. So she goes upstairs and we see her open a pregnancy test, and then we realize, oh, that's why she's so withdrawn. Meanwhile, downstairs, Emma gets the cake delivery. Again, it's this weird kind of slapsticky humor where it's like the cake delivery woman is speaking a different language. It's a bat mitzvah cake. Like, I don't really understand what the tone was for some of this wedding stuff they did, because it doesn't mesh with the rest of Degrassi. But
this whole episode, or these two episodes, were very insensitive, and they were definitely trying to do like a slapstick that was just in poor taste. It was just like, what are you trying to, it was just weird. It was all weird.
I feel like and the writing all around was just like so weird and out. At first I thought, I was like, maybe this episode always felt so different because it like revolves around a wedding, but I'm like, it's just shot and written funny too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like, here's the thing about this fucking episode is, or in general, the plot line of Archie and Christine. So they started dating at the beginning of the season. Have we even gotten past Christmas and already they're married?
It's quick.
Yeah.
It's
like, it would have made sense if the bitch knew she was pregnant early and was like, fuck, all right, I'm pregnant, I'm proposing to him, we're doing this. Yeah. I'm not having a second baby out of wedlock.
And then that could have like come out later or something, and then they could have written an episode around that revelation instead of this weirdness, because everything feels so like thrown together last minute that even
like this wedding,
it's rushed.
Like
wedding.
did y'all, like, I know y'all all probably made comment about the fucking invitation that Manny gave Sean.
That shit was tacky.
That shit looked like something I printed out in like 1997 when I like first got a printer at home,
like,
or something.
Flip it, and those pic, yeah. Like, it was bad.
That was some that was Macintosh computer clip art.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so refresh my memory, please. This is the day of the wedding, right?
This is the day before the wedding.
The day before. That makes sense. Okay. Because I was like, I'm confused as to why we are even doing Emma's hair for this. Like, it's not your wedding. Your hair is fine. We're going to put a little, girls put a little barrette in it. Like, why do you need a perm?
Curl it.
Seriously.
I don't understand why she needed to give this like girl a perm and not
I feel like
girl.
That was Emma's idea of like,
oh, yeah, that was totally
I want it to be perfect. I want a perm, but like, girl, no. Yeah, like, my mom was like, you can't alter your hair. Like, no, you're 13. Shut up.
Old enough to do it myself, and I still get in trouble for it with my mother, but I was just like, why are you giving a 13-year-old a perm?
Exactly.
Until I was 15 for my first dye.
Yeah.
No, I used to like dye my hair with like hydrogen peroxide or like lemon because I wasn't allowed to use anything.
Yeah, I would have like the tannin.
Until one time I just dyed my hair red. I tried to make myself like highlights, like I knew what I was doing. And then I was like, oh, I can't even do highlights. I messed it up. I'm like, I just have to do my whole head. And my mom like had a meltdown.
Oh God, I remember it was my freshman year of college. One of my friends, it was second semester. She was only in college for the first semester. And so the second semester, she just came back to visit and she was chilling. She spent the night in my dorm the weekend. And we're like, let's do your hair. Let's do some homemade chunky highlights.
Oh no.
I mean, it wasn't that bad, but at the same time, it's like, this is the shit you do when you're young. You're like,
how you fill your time.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely like freshman year, and like, I feel like definitely like those years in college, like before we had all of like the internet and social media now, this is the shit you did in the dorm rooms. Like if you had no money or anything, you're like, let's get box dye and see what happens.
It was like $6. Yeah, you're just like, let's see. You're like trying to do it yourself. Yeah.
So Emma has just realized that the cake that was delivered is for a bat mitzvah. She runs upstairs and tells Spike, we have an emergency. We have the wrong cake. And Spike is doing this withdrawn, like Spike is pissing me off, but she's just like, oh, there's a lot of bigger problems in the world right now. And Emma's like, what could be bigger than this cake? And like, I guess in Emma's defense, I'm like, without any context, she's probably like, what the fuck is
wrong?
Yeah, but you know what's bigger than the cake? Female genital mutilation. So like, Emma, shut the fuck up.
No,
there's a lot of bad things around the world.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is the wedding day, and for no reason, Spike is just being like lackluster. Like, no one knows why, and she's just like, yeah, it's fine. We'll get another cake. Like, bitch, you're a bride. Yeah. Get it together. Like, I understand that you're pregnant, but we don't know that yet.
How is she supposed to, like approach that or respond to that, Emma? Like, I feel like she's, like, confused and is like,
You also made like a 13-year-old your wedding planner because you're stupid. So like, I feel like this is Emma being like, I clearly have to be the one who does the checklist because this woman isn't. So
yeah. Who the fuck is Caitlin Ryan?
Yeah, like none of the adults are doing shit. So like, I kind of feel like just this is just Spike like giving way too much trust to her teenage daughter again to like handle everything. And she's being so low energy. Like it's pissing me off, but... She says this comment and then basically like confesses that she's pregnant again to Emma. And so then we get to Emma kind of, you know, pensively thinking about this outside when Manny gets to the house. So then Emma tells Manny and Manny is like, well, you know, Manny's being like very like positive. She's like, you know, this may not be a bad thing. It's great to have a baby in the world, blah, blah, blah. Aww. And by the way, I invited Sean. Like it's really cute how she like just drops out like, isn't this the best news? And Emma's
great
like
news. Yeah,
what? And so they kind of have a little argument about it, like why would you invite Sean, blah blah blah, until Manny's like, what's that smell? And we realize that Emma's had this perm for god knows how long because she's been like digesting this news.
My perm Okay, yeah. Also Emma with that perm, like that bag over her head, am I the only one who thought it looked like devil horns? I'm like, you demon bitch.
Because I was like, I don't know why it's like pointing in that weird way. And I was like, how did that happen? Like, why did you style like the plastic wrapping
that way?
Because she's a demon.
Also, like, I feel like this, like, after this happened, she blames Spike for this. And I'm like, she told you 20 minutes. Like,
yes,
you could have set a timer. Like, the whole time mm-hmm. she's like, oh, it's because she forgot. Like, she forgot. No, it was on your head. Like, she told you how long. She said she was going to shower. Like, don't blame this on someone else. Like, that pissed me off on her. But
sometimes a shower and a cleanup take more than 20 minutes, you dumb bitch.
Also, yeah. She's the bride. Let her have a moment.
Mm-hmm. Like, also,
a regular shower. She has to do... She has to shave everything. Mm-hmm. She has to, like, it's a long shower.
She's grooming. She's getting ready. Yeah, shit. She's about to be married tomorrow.
Speaking of Spike being the bride, I know Emma's 13, but for being 13, she's still the worst maid of honor I've ever seen. Because rule number one of being the maid of honor is you take care of the bride. You make sure the bride isn't stressed. You make sure that she's in a good place. And it started off with the damn bat mitzvah cake. Because her first thing shouldn't have been, oh my God, the cake is wrong. She should have been like, all right, listen, bakery, how do we handle this? We need a new cake. We need it now. It says the wrong thing. The wedding is tomorrow.
Thank you.
This is why I got upset that Spike would even trust
her. Oh, yeah. She should never trust. Like, you don't trust a fucking 13-year-old to be the maid of honor at a wedding. She's not a bridesmaid. She's not a flower girl. She's the maid of honor. And the maid of honor handles shit. And
the whole time, like, though, she's been like, it's just a wedding, guys. Okay, then go to the JP. Stop wasting everybody's time.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, Spike is like killing me this episode with like the low energy, like indecision about everything, where I'm like, just take some control over the situation. Like, tell your daughter to fuck off, have some fun, talk to Snake, like all of that. But she just doesn't do anything until she's pushed. I think so. At this point, this point is when Lucy and Caitlin arrive. They arrive after like this whole like little kerfuffle with the hair.
Real quickly about Lucy. First off, Lucy Hernandez is my girl.
She like saves this episode for me, by the way.
And yeah.
The way she's walking in with that cane was very like Selma Blair down the runway. She was like, all right, I'm healing up. No one's gonna stop me down. I'm fucking Lucy. I'm an OG Degrassi Junior High girl.
I want to know what you all think about this. So when they're getting everything out of the car and, you know, like Spike's like, oh, I told you all to wear whatever. And they're like, Lucy says, we just so happen to like the same dress. Do you think that's just like them being like, Spike's being lazy and we need to wear the same dress? Let's pick a color together. Or do you think they actually just so happen to like the same dress? Because I took it as them being like, okay, let's make sure we're matching, like the both of them
not in a shady way, but maybe they're like living together and they're like, all right,
because she wants us to just put on whatever, and no, we're not doing that.
Degrassi Junior High throwback. Lucy is the fashionista of the group. She's the one, yeah, like, she always dressed well. She always had, like, the most expensive shit. She was probably like, I bought this, and I bought a second one in Caitlyn's size. Yeah. We're gonna look good.
She was, like, kind of almost like the Fiona in terms of, like, the episodes I watched. She had, like, the high, not high fashion, but she just, like, knew how to style herself, like, middle or high schooler. And so I took it as either that or them being like, if we have to go all the way to fucking Toronto for this shitty wedding, let's try to make an event out of this. Because Spike clearly isn't.
She couldn't be like,
she couldn't make a big deal of this at all. And we're traveling and we're doing all this, so we're gonna have fun. What is that? Because Spike did shit. I feel like Spike would have just had the bat mitzvah cake. Like, she just
literally she's like I'm Rhoda tonight. Like, what? Yeah.
Lucy Fernandez should have been the maid of honor.
Yeah. She would have gotten it done. Like, I was thinking of, like, Rose Byrne in Bridesmaids. Lucy would have been the one who gets everything on that checklist done.
Gets it done. Yeah.
The damn cookie.
Yeah. So they arrive, they kind of give Spike some shit over the perm, which I thought was funny, and kind of sets the tone, like, these are your, like, lifelong friends, so they're not just, like, being polite, they're just like, dude.
That's your professional.
Yeah. And Emma, you know, kind of quickly covers for Spike in this case, so, like, points for Emma, where she's, like, she's stressed, you know, it's her wedding, and, you know, I guess Emma's making the assumption that maybe her mother will do the normal thing and talk this out with her adult friend. I don't know, but...
Does she have any other adult friends? Because I've only seen Lucy and Caitlin once. I haven't seen Spike talk to anyone who's an adult.
Yeah.
Literally her only friend.
Emma. I think it's Caitlin who's like, we're taking you out for, like, a bachelorette party because the boys are doing their thing. And from there, you know, we kind of have this, like, mini reunion at the house where, like, Joey and Snake walk in. Everyone kind of hugs. I guess this is a little bit of, like, Joey and Caitlin reconnecting too. And, you know, so you have Caitlin pushing about, like, what are you guys doing tonight? Trying to get the details. And they're like, no strippers, we're going bowling. But then you got Lucy, because Lucy doesn't play around. So she's like, so when are we having kids? Like, you guys are about to get married. All, like, she's asking the hard questions. Mm-hmm. And Snake is like, well, you know, I'm moving in. You know, I'm about to be a husband, I'm about to be a stepdad. So I definitely have kids, but, like, maybe not this second. And then Spike,
I found it, go ahead.
She's pissing me off because somehow Spike interprets that statement as, wow, he never wants kids, blah blah blah, I just won't tell him, and I'll just keep confessing to my 13-year-old daughter and using her as a soundboard for what I'm going through, because Spike's just like, okay. And I was so annoyed because I was like, yeah, he's being a typical dude or whatever, but, like, he never definitively says I don't want children. He just, realistically, you don't want it the day you're getting married. I think
seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's my thing.
1 or 8 months later.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so how, like, Spike is what, 30, 31 at this point at most? Oh,
well, at the end of season two, at the beginning of season one, she would have been 28.
Okay.
I thought she was 30. She's not, she's 28.
She said almost 30 at that reunion.
I thought they were turning 30.
Well, the thing is, if they were 18 when they graduated, and it was their 10-year reunion,
yeah,
so she would have been. So now she's 29 at the most.
Yeah, now she's probably like either 29 or 30 on the dot.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. So here's my thing though. On the dot.
Oh, you know what? I think she was just 30 because that's why she had that barbecue party.
She just had her birthday.
Oh, that was her 30th. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, she's 30. And I'm like, okay, like, I understand. Like, this pissed me off too because of course he's not tomorrow. So, like, why did she take, she's like, oh, yeah, it may happen sooner rather than later. Like, he obviously doesn't know you're pregnant. So, of course, he's going to be like, no, not right now. Like, I'm moving into a new place. But, like,
I still have student loan debt.
Yeah.
You think that she would be more mature to be like, okay, we need to have a talk. Like, none of us planned this. I've gone through this before, but I am pregnant. So what are we doing? So for her to act like he doesn't, you heard him, like, no kids ever. Like, girl, it was annoying.
Like, that's what pissed me off, because I was like, I think he actually was pretty, like, well-spoken and, like, making it, like, look, okay, everyone, he's about to take on Emma as a stepdaughter. This could do. I think we can all agree that Snake needs some, like, room to grow, because this is going to be his life for the rest of his life.
Give him some grace right now.
You
Yeah, he's already about to be a dad to a kid that he can't stand. That nobody.
I think it's even nice of him to say, maybe I'll have another kid, because if I knew that's who I was taking on, I'd be like, absolutely not. Not even a puppy, not even a kitten. Like, this is it.
I think that's why he was like, I want to wait some time, because I want to wait till this bitch is out of the house. Yeah. And then maybe I can raise a kid properly.
And they'll still be young enough to have one, though.
Yeah, he's like, I literally cannot think about another child right now. I have to deal with this one. And not only do I deal with this one at home now, I deal with this one at school. Like, I'm dealing with your child more than you are. Like, no, I don't want another kid.
Yeah.
He's stressed, and I feel that.
Dude, like, what, honestly, 31? I think we should give, like, Snake some major points for not snapping in the middle of the night and just, like, putting her in a Volkswagen and pushing her in a river.
He said
yes to Spike's proposal. He did not propose to her. Let's remember this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he definitely was like, I don't know if this is going to be forever because of this little bitch.
Yeah.
But I guess he was like, this is my last chance.
Yeah, we've seen all of their interactions just this season alone, and he still said yes to this woman. So I was just like, if he needs a good 6 months before family planning, I was like, I don't think it's crazy, but like for Spike to just internalize and like twist that answer on him and be like, oh, he doesn't want kids. I was like, bitch, like, I hate you. Like,
she's going to
possible episode title, say yes to the mess.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to say, Stefan, I know you said that the pussy wasn't that good, but obviously it is. Because he literally said yes to her proposal and is still jumping into this bullshit. So it must be great.
Now he's jumping into it because he's got a fucking kid on the way.
He doesn't know that yet, though. And he still said yes. Yeah. So the pussy is phenomenal. Okay, it has to be. That's the only thing that's great.
You know, I guess to quote LL Cool J, it's something like a phenomenal.
Or Maya Angelou, phenomenal woman. I mean, don't quote her. Don't quote Maya Angelou.
Drag Maya Angelou into this.
I know, I'm sorry. Rest in peace, ladies. I'm sorry.
Like, no, we're not going to take Marguerite down.
And you guys are talking about this shit. Don't talk about me.
She's rolling in her grave. Don't haunt me tonight. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it.
My angel comes down and she's just like, you did not associate me with Spike Nelson.
Phenomenal woman. That's me.
That is not her.
It's not her. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, Maya.
Oh, man.
I forgive you.
This is going to be fun to write a description for because...
we're all over the place.
Yeah. So anyway.
I mean, you know, Archie's a caged bird right now. And I'm really not sure why the caged bird sings because he's trapped. He's trapped in the ship.
Possible title there too. Where am I? Oh, God. Oh, yeah. So at some point, Emma told Manny, uninvite Sean. So we're at That's Tracker's house. Tracker is trying to get Sean to like go backpacking or something with him over the weekend when Manny arrives.
Wait, is it backpacking? I always thought they were going to wrestling or like big wheeling or some shit.
I think they're going on like a coast. They're like motorcycling on the coast or some shit, right?
My caption said backpacking, but I could have sworn I heard something else. So I was like, is this where they just like filled in the blank because we didn't hear? Because I was like, Tracker doesn't seem like the backpacking type.
I feel like it was a monster truck show.
Yeah.
If that's still a thing.
You're not in Florida.
Or something like that, you know? Yeah. So whatever.
Well, Sega Beach is the Florida of Canada.
I literally thought they were just like, I thought they were going to be on one motorcycle and like Sean's on, like holding on to him and they're fucking riding by the beach. That's what I thought. I'm like, y'all are just like riding by the beach? That's cute.
Oh my.
Yeah. Like the little car that you like attached to a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. He has like his little, he has like the goggles. He's like covered the goggles. He's like holding on.
Oh my God, this is like Speed Racer.
I love it.
Speed Racer, little brother with the monkey.
Oh, I love Speed Racer.
So, well, they're talking about if they're going to do that this weekend, but Manny comes in. She takes this like fall out of, like something out of the Three Stooges. And I was just like, what is happening? Again, I'm like, did they direct her to do this? Did it just happen? Like none of the tone or jokes make sense, but she falls. And, you know, when Sean is like, what the fuck, she's like, look, I made a mistake, you're not actually invited to this wedding. like poor Manny having to do this, like it sucks, but Sean takes it pretty gracefully. We can see the disappointment on his face, but he says, no, it's not a big deal. It's because Sean knows his wedding's a mess. Like, even though he's from Wasega Beach, he's like, this is not going to be a fun wedding anyway. I don't
recognize
care.
Real. Exactly. Yeah. He's like, I know, I've been there. He's like, I understand. Yeah.
I've been like, enough to these kinds of weddings. Like, you know, so I don't need to go.
When Alabama man says you're a little too much, that shit says a lot.
Yeah. So, where am I? So, like, later on, so now it's nighttime or evening. The guys are having their stag party. The guys are like, they're drinking. Radich is there, but he's not Radich tonight. He's Dan. So like everyone's getting a little lit.
So here's the weird thing about the weird thing about that is that again, Principal Radich was Mr. Radich during fucking Snakes like eighth grade year. So who the fuck wants to party hard with the person who's literally been that figure for them all of their life? And it's like, you went from being my teacher to being my boss. And I get that you need friends, Radich.
Yeah.
This is a little weird. A little
Natasha and I do have a teacher that I think I would invite to my bachelorette or whatever party because she
to your hen too?
Yeah. Like I do have that figure in my, she's not my boss now though, but I definitely have that figure where I'm like, I've known you since like seventh grade and I probably would get lit with you because we have a good time. Dan Radich though, I don't know, because he like never has fun. So this is just like a weird, like, why did Joey invite him? Because Joey knows Mr. Radich. So like, it's kind of weird that he would invite
him. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe like someone put him on the list and even Archie's like, fuck.
He totally invited himself. Like, I feel like, you know, Joey and Snake were somewhere near, like, outside of the Degrassi, and they were like, yeah, getting ready for your bachelor party, your stag party. You're having the stag party? I'll be there. Where is it? And they're like, fuck. We don't know how to say no because you're our teacher.
Exactly. He's like, I'll bring the course. Like, you know, I got this. And they're like, fuck, okay. So
I'll bring the marshmallow fluff.
I got pretzels. Yeah.
Which is weird because, like, Craig really wants to see the stripper, like, fancy. And I'm like, do you really want to see a stripper with your teacher and your principal?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the shit a teenage boy will do for some booze.
That's what I'm saying.
The teenage boy.
Craig is, like, the horniest, like, second horniest to, like, JT on this show. Yeah. So I'm like, and he's just, like, focused on the tits. Like, he doesn't care who's a
boy. And, like, I'm honestly surprised that Joey wasn't all, like, he wasn't planning the stripper from the get-go because Joey Jeremiah is the straight up creepy pervy uncle.
Yeah.
He's always like, hey, yeah, you fucking yet? Like,
you're so right.
Well,
so
he was trying to be like the, I guess, the friend. I honestly, let's be real. You know, Archie was probably like, no strippers, like, period. Mm-hmm. Like, I know he didn't say period, but he's like, no strippers, end of story, buddy. We're not doing it. You know? So he probably like cussed him out in but his like Archie way.
Okay.
And like
Joey has never listened to anyone ever in his entire life. He is literally the person who goes, oh, you said don't do something, I'm gonna do it, which is part of how he got left back.
But see, that's why it didn't take much like coding for him to do it. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, oh, I'm not gonna do it, but he probably already had Fancy on speed dial anyways.
He was like,
Fancy girl,
idea, Craig. It's like he already knows.
Fancy was already set up for that night.
If they were going bowling, like, Angela could have stayed at home. Let's be real. You know what I mean? Like, he already knew things were going to get wild.
I was like, that's why Grandma Jeremiah, like, points to you. She already had to, like, watch Angie. So I think, I do think Joey probably had, like, a backup plan after bowling kind of thing.
He had to have. He is the pervy, creepy friend.
Yeah.
Maybe he just thought he was going to bring him to a strip club. He's like, we'll just bring him.
It's like strip club bowling or something.
Exactly, like black light bowling or some shit.
Okay, he reminds me of my one uncle who creepy story. I think I'm like 12, 13 at the time, and this is again my weird, creepy uncle. And he's like, hey, so you beat it on her back yet? And I'm like, what? You beat it on her back yet? I'm like, the fuck? He's like, yeah, you know, she won't put out and you're getting there. So you just beat it on her back. And I'm like,
hate that. Yeah.
The fuck? I'm 12.
Yeah. Like, ugh.
No.
No. And that is, I feel like, Joey Jeremiah.
Yep, you know. Every time we see him talking with Craig, like, they're talking about girls.
Yeah.
Joey's dating life. And, like, maybe, I don't know, this was not how my upbringing was, but I just, like, cannot imagine at that age wanting to talk about dating with any adult, you know? It just, and so the way they talk is so casual that, like, Craig feels like it's one of his buddies, like, when he tells him about the girls and stuff. And I'm like,
yeah, cool. It's creepy.
Yeah, so I cheated on my girlfriend with Manny, and it was so much fun. And Joey's like, you dog.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, yeah, he takes after your stepfather. Like, yeah. Way to go. Like, that's awesome.
Just like when I cheated on Caitlin with Tessa Lampanelli. Yep. Campanelli.
I'm like, Lampanelli's new girl.
So while the guys are getting lit, you know, just a side note, JT and Toby arrive in their like 80s costume. Yeah. And this is where Joey is like, first of all, Joey's like, who the fuck are you? Second of all, he's like, no, you're not going to stay for the stripper, and neither is Craig. So that's that.
Yeah, no time for a night at the Dorksberry.
Yeah, so now we get to like the scene that I feel like we have a lot to say on, or I have a lot to say on. And we're at a Mexican restaurant with live music, which I think sounds lovely. I'd be happy to be there, but Spike isn't. She's being sulky. She's being moody. You know, she's not smiling at the live entertainment like you should. And at some point she turns to, I think, Caitlin and is like, you know, make them stop or you'll have 4 dead Mexicans, you know, on your hands, which
was nasty.
Girl.
Was an unnecessary comment.
And then earshot of them too, which I was just like, it's nasty, it's rude, like.
It's very white supremacist.
Also, you came to a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
What the fuck did you expect? We have live entertainment. Keep it pushing. Like, I didn't appreciate that.
Like, no, I understand not wanting the entertainment right behind you, but like, be kind. Be like, hey, oh my god, y'all sound so great, but like, we're trying to have a conversation here, you know?
I'm sorry, I have a headache. Would you mind not being next to me?
I'm sure once they finished that song, they were going to move on to like a table that's more engaging. Like the table that our group would be at, you know?
I know, I'd be having a great time. Like,
here's some dollars.
I'm like, here's some tips. Like, also though, like this whole bachelorette party is just, I had an issue with it just simply because Caitlin's like, obviously, nothing's been planned. Caitlin's like, oh, well, if they're going out, we should also do that too. You deserve that. Like, nothing has been planned. Like, and she's like, oh, you all are, thank you. Like,
see, what? If Lucy were the maid of honor, they would have gone to Zanzibar.
Yes. Yeah, they would have rented it out.
Yes. Good food, right? Like, this whole thing is just, she looks miserable the whole time. And it's like, okay, did you want us here?
Also, she can't drink.
Yeah. Drink and
she can't drink during her bachelorette because your bitch is knocked up.
For a moment, I forgot if she did or didn't. I was like, when I was watching the episode, I was like, did she drink when they went to the Mexican restaurant? And
I mean, you can have some red wine, according to my friend's sister, who's an OBGYN.
You can have a glass of wine. No, people in the like 50s used to drink every night, and they're.
I mean, also, it's not like she at the time she wasn't planning on keeping it.
Yeah, so I was just annoyed that she was just being really moody, and it's cool if you want to be moody, but like if you don't give your friends any insight into like what's going on, like Lucy and Caitlin are like, what the fuck is happening? Like, we're trying here. Let's do shots. Like, let's be, you know, let's have some fun and make the most of it. And like, Snake's just giving them attitude. Like, they did something wrong. So I like that Queen Lucy was like, what's going on? Like, she just didn't hold back. And I was like, that's like the lifelong friendship kind of like, if newer friends, like, you don't do that shit. Your lifelong friends are like, what's up? Stop being a bitch, you know? And like,
yeah, that's like, what's the problem?
Doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see through you.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you when you were pregnant, even though we didn't talk at all those years.
Yeah. So Lucy, you know, she kind of gets it right away. She's like, are you pregnant? And Spike is like, yeah. Like, Spike's being a teenager in this scene. And it's like,
yeah.
The moment's I mean, is it just me who maybe it's our at our age where I'm like, the moment someone doesn't drink, are you pregnant?
Oh, definitely. I'm like, why aren't you drinking? I'm like, something's wrong. Unless like, they're like, it's my medicine. I'm like, okay, that.
Or antidepressant? Which one is it?
Also, I feel like that friend would already be the one already saying, like, not drinking. Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't have to guess. Like, they'd just be like, I'm not having a drink today.
Yeah, like, at your bachelorette, I'm like, you have to be pregnant if you're not drinking. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, because sometimes my ass is like, I'm not going to have a drink tonight just because I'm trying not to. And then I end up drinking. So that's the whole thing.
So you mean tonight?
Yeah. Every night, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm always like, I'm going to be healthier. I'm going to be like, you know, better about this and whatever. But like, if my friends are there, that's not the night that I choose. So
no, yeah, exactly.
It would be pretty evident. And I think in this case, like with Spike, especially since she's in a bad mood, your friends would be like, you clearly need like 5 shots, like take them. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, like daughter, like mother.
Yeah. We see where it comes from now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they have a discussion and like Lucy and Caitlin are being pretty reasonable about it. They're like, look, it's not the end of the world. Like you just have to talk to Snake. And then she's like, you heard them. He doesn't want kids. And
right now, bitch.
In this moment, I feel like you can see from their expressions, they're like, that's not what he said. She's an idiot. But there's like not enough tequila in this world right now to reason with this bitch, right? Like, yeah. They just don't say anything because it's like, he clearly didn't say that.
Yeah.
Basically, right now, they're being Manny and Liberty. And just like, Emma's on a rant.
Yeah.
I'm a step aside.
She wants no kid. He wants no kids. Like, what are you doing? Like, pity party? Yeah. Shut up.
It's crazy. And so, like, basically where the episode kind of starts ending is when they get back from the bachelorette party. And this kind of bothers me, too. They get back. Spike is still in a mood. She's not pretending to be, like, she's not putting on a face for, like, Manny and Emma, who are children. She's just, like, whatever, and, like, marches upstairs. And so Emma, like, I guess, again, being put in this weird position where it seems like they're the married couple and not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Emma's like, I'll go upstairs and talk to her. And I'm like, this is a problem, Spike. Like, your friend should be able to talk to you, not like your daughter. Yeah. But
no.
You should have pushed her more and just been like, no.
Yeah.
Like, Emma?
I talk to her or no one does. Like,
yeah. Like, we're going to go up here. Emma, you stay down here with your friend. You are a child. Like, this is. Yeah. Not your position.
Like, or I would have gone with her. Like, I would not have just let her go.
Yeah. Because, like, actually, before she goes upstairs or like they arrive, they show like Emma and Manny kind of talking about it. And you kind of see that Emma is a little excited and a very, like, again, like these little moments of Emma being a child where she's like, oh, it'd be great to have a brother or sister. Like, that would make us feel like a whole family and everything. And then, like, in comes Spike being, like, a moody. And then all of a sudden, Emma goes into that, like, I'm going to be the adult in the situation mode and, like, talks to Spike. She goes upstairs. And again, like, Spike is like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know what to do about this. Like, you know,
that. Honestly, what Spike needed right then that she didn't get was her mother.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in that moment, Spike regressed and went back to when she was 14 and had that dumb bitch.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, honestly, this was another unplanned pregnancy. So once again, this is happening to her again. It's, and they remind her, her friends are like, it's different. You have someone who really cares about you, but still it doesn't feel
it wasn't the same. Your first time upstairs at a house party.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel the same though. It's still unplanned. So she's like freaking out.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like she's literally just, she's back in her state and she needs someone grounded to talk to, not a 14-year-old bitch.
Yeah. And she's like shutting down. Like she's just completely shutting down and not making like any moves. And so like Emma is Emma. So she comes upstairs very confrontational and is like, you know, what are we going to do about this?
Oh, sorry. That was me turning my AC down because
oh my God,
really I thought like we're hearing noises.
I apologize.
Fire alarm, and I'm like, oh god, it's here. Like, it's
no, no,
no, no. I was like, I really hope you don't go to pee because I don't want to hear us.
No one needs to hear this.
Basically, this episode ends with Emma confronting her mom. Spike is like, Spike kind of makes a passing comment, like, maybe I won't keep this baby. Zoom into Emma's face. She's disturbed. The end. To be continued. Very mysteriously. So, everyone, part two. So we closed out the last episode with Emma and Spike speaking about this baby and Spike saying, like, maybe I won't have it. So we open up with them kind of debating abortion for whatever reason. Emma is like, what about the baby's rights? And, you know, Spike is like, look, I can't deal with this right now. Emma is like, and I guess to Emma's point, again, maybe you should be having this conversation with Snake. Like, he doesn't even know about this. So that's kind of how they end. But basically, I think Emma finally gets fed up with Spike because Spike says, hey, I made this mistake once already. And so Emma,
I mean,
we know she made that mistake. So
she did. Like, Emma was a mistake. And not because having a baby was a mistake, but because Emma's a horrible person.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about it is she, why? I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is my mother and me. Like, why would you be so hard up about this? Like, you know it's true. Like, of course, this was not planned. She was young. Like, it was not planned. It was a mistake. Like,
but the thing is, like, and this is how Emma is Claire is Maya.
Yeah.
When Maya was all like, my boyfriend killed himself to break up with me. Oh, Emma's all like, if you get an abortion, would you have aborted me? Like, it's literally taking someone else's shit and making it about you. Right now, it's not about you, Emma.
Yeah.
Guess what? You happened. You were born. Fuck you for being born because you're horrible.
Yeah.
But like, this is about your mother and the shit that she is going through right now.
Yeah.
And were you around when she was pregnant in fucking middle school, not high school? She was pregnant in middle school.
Yeah. Yes. She made the choice to not abort you. So don't throw that shit around. Like, yeah. I don't know. I don't
She regrets that choice every day of her life.
And it's a lot for her, like, in Spike's defense here, it's like she is thinking about it not just in terms of like aborting this baby, but it's like she's about to get married. And it's like this, in her head at least, from what we've seen, seems to be a deal breaker with her soon to be husband. And so, like, I guess in Spike's way, like, she's kind of like going back to this, oh, I'm going to be alone kind of thing, because if he finds out, he's going to overreact. And like, you know, yeah, she should talk to Snake, but at the same time, like, it's normal to have all of these like feelings of like, holy crap, it's all going to be taken away from me because of this, you know, situation. And I think Emma's like not getting it, but also this is why you just don't talk about it with a teenager, because teenagers don't get shit, you know. So that's kind of how this episode starts. And then we go back to like the ridiculousness, like the ridiculous tone of this episode, because we see JT and Toby dressed up as like bank robbers from a cartoon. I don't know why, but they're dressed up, they got all in black, they got like the eye makeup, everything, and their plan is to
like, the face paint made them look like fucking urchins. Like, I'm like,
what is happening here? Like, you don't have to do all this, but they're dressed up like this. They're trying to attach like a webcam to Joey Jeremiah's house so that they can see the fancy, like, you know, this is before YouTube, so I guess like you really gotta pull out all the stops to see some like titty, but like they're just like really going for it. And we see, and like that's when they realize that Radish is there too. And again, you know, the weird slaps.
Call me Dan.
Call me Dan.
Tonight I'm Dan.
Yeah, tonight I'm Dan.
All right.
He knew Fancy was coming as Dan well.
Man.
Yeah.
So Manny and Emma are talking, like they're supposed to be like getting ready for bed, and like they're talking about Emma's fight with Spike. And you know, Manny's being a really good friend here. She's like, look, you know, stay out of it. Let's get a good night's rest. Tomorrow's gonna be a great day. She's got her sock monkey and she's like, tomorrow's gonna be a wonderful day, and trying to cheer Emma up. But Emma's Emma, like, you can't cheer her up. So not even Manny Santos can cheer up Emma. So, and while all of this is happening, Fancy arrives, you know, and we're seeing, like, you know, what's going on with everyone's night. So, like, you know that Spike's in one corner sulking, Emma's sulking, and meanwhile Snake is getting a stripper he did not want anything to do with.
Okay, so real quick, I don't know why when I remember this episode I remember Fancy being less hot than she is, because Fancy was actually a very attractive, sexy stripper.
She could definitely get it.
Like, in my mind I always imagined her being like a 78-year-old grandma stripper.
No. I thought the same thing this episode.
Her hair. She has the Miss Hot Sauce hair.
She had a little bit of the 80s hair going on, but the way she, like, walked in really confident, she's like, I know I'm going to own this room. And, like, these guys have no idea what to do. Like, they have no idea how to, like, handle this situation. So I was like,
get it fancy.
Yeah.
This was not her first rodeo, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And she was just like, these lame-os, like, these Degrassi dudes, like, you know, I got this. So Fancy walks in, Snake is embarrassed, and we realize, like, also that Emma is not falling asleep like she should. So Emma leaves the house and walks all the way to the stag party at Joey Jeremiah's. And
okay, Emma walking down the street in that hair was very reminiscent of a hooker.
That hair and those pajamas?
It goes back to her first episode where she's running around Toronto in those dolphin pants. Where you're like,
Emma really wanted to be a sex worker.
Pants? Yeah, she was in cow pants tonight, right? This time.
And she was legit queueless in school like a day ago.
Yeah,
she's going wild. Like, why didn't she have shoes at the halls of Degrassi?
Oh, did y'all see her feet? They were,
it was nasty.
Gross.
No, I didn't. Thank God.
Baby Walmart feet. It was baby.
Oh
Walmart.
No.
Yes.
No.
I was disappointed.
Yeah. She's a mess this episode. But yeah, she's like walking around in pajamas, the hair. And if I saw that while I'm driving around at midnight, I would speed up. I'd be like, give me a ticket. I'm getting away from this. But, like, she gets to Joey Jeremiah's house, somehow wakes up JT and Toby. So they all start screaming. And then, like, Joey comes out and is, like, again, like, he's like, what the fuck? Like, Joey just wants a stripper. And, like, these fucking kids, he has no idea who they are, and they're at his house. So he, like, you know, he, like, takes them by the ear and, like, brings them in, and Snake confronts Emma.
I find it funny that Joey Jeremiah is like, I'm going to call your parents, but he claimed that he didn't know who they were. Yeah, so I'm like, how do you know their parents? Like, yeah.
Craig's not in their grade. Angie's nowhere near their age. So it's like, he has no reason to actually know who these two
people are. Maybe he's like, what's your parents' number?
Yeah, but...
And it's like, if they don't tell them their parents' number, like, well, I'm going to call the police.
Giraffe. Yeah, he had to have some kind of threat.
And so he grabbed them, though. I was like, damn.
The way he, like, pinched their ear. And
takes a village.
Stripper. Yeah, like, he was I don't care that you guys are outside of my house at midnight. I care also, that you, like, interrupted the lap dances.
Yeah.
Should he be driving these kids home when he's likely drunk because it was a stag party?
Yeah. I mean, we know they were drinking.
No Uber then. Yeah. Walk home.
It seems like everyone, like, lives around the same area, so they definitely could walk. Hmm. So, anyway, at the same time, we see Caitlin is trying to speak to Spike about the situation. And Spike is like, oh, you know what? This is the time to call Archie. And Caitlin is like, no, it's not, because it's his stag party. He's probably drunk. Like, do it first thing in the morning. So, whatever. But it doesn't matter, because Snake gets the full lowdown from Emma, because he sees Emma outside of his stag party, probably confused as fuck. If he's I would be confused as fuck if this girl is outside of my stag party. And he's like, what are you doing here? You're scaring me. And I don't know if he's referencing, like, her hair or, like, what's going on, but
he looks like a troll version of herself.
Like, he looked so confused. He had, like, a feather boa. Like, he was just like,
he's like, what?
Got a giant kiss on his cheek because he just got a lap dance from
he's
Fancy.
Like, I don't want to be a stepfather tonight. What do you want?
So, Emma.
I wanted one night away from you, Emma. One night away from Emma.
Like, I have had two whole beers today, Emma. Like, I can't.
Oh, bless his heart. Bless his heart.
They were Coors Light.
He's confused, and Emma's like, I mean, she doesn't sugarcoat shit at all. She's like, mom's pregnant, and she's thinking of having an abortion. So, like, just no nuance, no subtle, like, she didn't dress it up at all. And Snake is like, what?
I mean, I love him being like, is this how this family gets down? Fuck all of y'all. Like, the way he,
but like,
he's like, this is how this family moves? I want no part.
Dude, this was a sign. Get out. Get out.
The fact
about
that
to be in the sunken place.
The fact that he fucking leaves her on the stoop. He's like, Joey's gonna take you home. Like, he's done.
It's honestly like, you know how like Miss Kwan's moment with the car gets more and more relatable as you get older? This was like, as I've gotten older, I was like, I feel for Snake in this moment, because if I'm drunk and trying to have like a good time and I get all of his news in a sentence, I too would be like, I can't deal with this. Like,
no,
I'm not dealing with this family.
That's
like,
a lot of fucking shit.
He's like, it just makes me laugh. He's like, this is what your family does. I want no parts of this. Big mood.
So next morning, you know, we're in a little bit of a frenzy. We have Spike is on the phone. She's like, I can't find the groom. I don't know what's happening.
You don't want to be found, bitch.
Even though he's like, he walks right in, and Snake is mad. Like, we never see Archie like this, you know, like mad. And he's like, look, we need to talk about this right now. They get into a little bit of a fight because Spike is like, no, we're not going to talk about this right now. We're talking like we're leaving. And, you know, they get into it. They run off. And then you go outside and Emma's having a little bit of a meltdown. And she's like, I don't know what wedding is happening, blah, blah, blah. Manny, you know, trying to be like the friend. She's like, look, Emma, calm the fuck down. Just get ready. Like, it's between them now. And like, we have to all just act like basically like this wedding is going on. And we also have, I can't not ignore this, because we do have Manny and Joey like blowing up balloons together.
Yes.
And I'm like, you never see these two interact, which is actually kind of weird considering how much Manny and Craig are like involved, but like you really never see Joey and Manny interact. So this is another
moment.
They have such a sweet moment.
Yeah. Where like they're like, where she says your song sucks and like she starts laughing. I'm like, this is improv. This is not real. Like,
maybe she reminds him of his daughter or his wife.
Probably. He's like, you remind me of Angie and Julia. Do I want Angie more? I mean, Angie, definitely.
I don't know.
Julia is a little too old. Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely like, it's just this weird moment that I was just like, I can't even imagine them like putting that into the script. It seems like something that happened organically and they're like, you know what? It's cute. Let's leave it in because this episode is not cute otherwise. But basically, Emma. Your song sucks. And like, they're playing with the
healing.
Going forward, like, you know, we know everyone's fighting, but we're just gonna, this is the most realistic of like what wedding days are actually like behind the scenes, where like everything's a hot mess and you just hope that it comes together kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But Manny and Emma get into a fight because when Manny tells Emma like to calm down, like whatever, Emma snaps back and, you know, all of that, and they start going at each other about interfering with things, and Manny's like, me inviting Sean is not the same thing as you telling your future stepdad about your mom wanting an abortion in the middle of the night. Like, those are two different situations. And so,
like, I think this was the moment that defined Manny as not Terry.
Yeah.
Because where Terry took a lot of Ashley shit for a long time, Manny has slowly but truly been coming into her own, and she was kind of Emma's sidekick, but now's the moment she's like, Emma, no, you're full of shit, so turn the mirror the fuck around and look at yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm not even gonna apologize. I'm just gonna walk the fuck off.
Yeah.
I mean, throughout this whole thing, though, even her interfering with Sean, like, that was a Manny, I mean, that was an Emma thing. Like, she's literally just been playing the same plays with everyone. So it's funny to see Emma being pissed about this, because I'm just like playing what you do.
Yeah.
This is you.
Yeah, like, she learned from the best. I'm like, in this situation, like, Manny just, like, she read a room and she knew that Sean and Emma are still into each other. And she's like, if I can't be with Craig right now, I'm going to make sure someone else gets it. And so, like, I'll make sure this happens. And, like, it still worked out for both of them. And she was
true
friend. A good friend, honestly.
Thank you. True friend.
I'm like, I feel like the only reason she would have done all this, because into it is because she's like, I know they're still into each other. Like, yeah.
This. Mm-hmm. She just wants Emma to be happy, even though Emma's just a roaring twat.
Yeah. So everyone's fighting. At this point, you know, we're going back and forth between the chapel and Spike and Snake, like, walking along a pier and, like, having this debate. At this point, Snake is, like, you know, kind of rightfully, like, what the fuck is going on? He's like, your daughter's coming to me in the middle of the night telling me, like, all of this news, and I don't know what to think about it because it's not coming from you, you know? Like, it's coming from my 13-year-old student, you know, basically. Like, when you think of it, it's such a ridiculous situation for him to be in. And he's like, I don't know if we're moving too fast and we should just be friends. Spike does the same shit she does with her friends. And she's like, well, you said you didn't want kids. And Snake counters with, I never said I didn't want kids, because he's never said he didn't want kids. He literally said, I don't want him tomorrow, which we've all agreed is a reasonable, like, way to go about it. And that does not mean that he wouldn't accept this kid now. It's just, without context, that's how he worded it.
Also, like, I mean, yeah, she's on birth control. How risky are y'all being, though? Like, you, I mean, the thing is, y'all are adults.
Is she on birth control?
She says she is. She says she's 98% like effective, but like, you, y'all know the risk. So why is everyone acting like surprised? Like, you know the risks. Like, like, she's like, how did this happen? And she's like, you were there. Like, okay, no shit. Like,
I mean, honestly, she's probably like, I wasn't quite there. We just got home from the Elvis Costello concert. I was a little drunk. I might have skipped a couple pills.
Whatever. But, like, we were both there at some point.
We were both there physically.
Someone was there. I mean, you more than me. You were there. Like, either way.
I know Emma was there, probably watching and timing it.
Like, banging on the wall.
Like, okay, stop, it's past my bedtime.
Be quiet.
I'm trying to do my media immersion homework, Archie.
So they're doing their debate. Meanwhile, at the chapel, like, everyone's dressed up, everyone's ready, and they're just like, is the bride and groom here? The I guess, like, priest or pastor, he's getting a little aggressive. He's like, if they're not here in like 30 seconds, I got other shit to do. Like, he basically is like, again, he doesn't go to any of the adults in the room. He goes to the teenage daughter and he's like, look, I got shit to do, like, they better be here. And it's like, again, where's Joey? Where's Caitlin?
Yeah. He's like, you're the wedding planner, right? Just gonna let you know.
I just imagine, like, like, he's also like a rabbi, and the moment they're done, he's like, all right, I've got a bris to perform at like 3.
Yeah.
Let's just move it along.
Have that mitzvah cake, I'll take it, because I'm also doing that.
Oh yeah, Rhoda's coming in. She's coming in at 12:45. Let's see.
Shit's gonna get real. And I feel like my girl Lucy is all like, well, you know, even if the wedding doesn't happen, the reception's paid for.
Yeah.
There is an open bar at that reception.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah.
I'm going to bust a move on a cane.
Lucy came all the way from wherever she was to do this. That's why I, like, admire her, because that's the kind of wedding guest we clearly all are. Like, we don't care if you guys actually love each other or if it happens. Like, we busted ass to get here. We put on the dress. We're drinking.
Let's
do it. Yeah. Right now. So, like, they're all outside waiting. Joey does take a moment to make a joke about Emma's hair. And, like, if it were any other child, I'd probably be like, that's rude, but it's Emma.
It's Emma.
Whatever.
Joey, I know.
And it's, again, like, more, it speaks to Joey's weird immaturity around teenagers as well. Because I was like, but they're all like, is this happening? Because they're just sitting outside, like, on the stoop, like, waiting. And at some point in their discussion, Snake and Spike, like, keep talking about it. You know, Snake points out, never said I didn't want kids, you know, just not the timing. Spike is like, the timing is never right, whatever.
Okay, so at one point, Spike's talking about her shit having had that dumb bitch, and she literally says, like, and you know, I wouldn't trade Emma for anything. And my note on this is, I'd trade her for an hour of silence. Honestly, I would trade her for a Wendy's 5-piece spicy chicken nugget.
Oh, I definitely would.
I would trade her for a Frosty, a junior Frosty.
I mean, McDonald's has theirs, and I want to try those, so I'd trade her for that, too.
Yeah.
Not much that I wouldn't trade her for.
I know. I'm like, it's pretty low. Like,
honestly, I'd trade her for a baked potato. It doesn't even have to be loaded. Just give me salt, pepper, and butter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some good Irish butter
on it. Yeah. Yeah. That Kerrygold. Yes, exactly.
Nice. Some nice
sponsored
cheese.
By Kerrygold.
Mm-hmm. I want cheese, too. Sponsored by cheese.
So, you know, like, this, like, Emma's really, like, what is the lowest common denominator thing you would trade Emma for?
That could have been my question for the week.
We should use that next week. I mean, every week.
I would trade her for a pen that just writes really smooth, like a good, like, big pen, because those are really nice to have.
I love those, especially when you go to a restaurant and they give them to you, and like, I want to keep this. Like, it's so nice.
A good tipping pen, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd trade her for, like, a good pair of socks. Like, and not just the socks that you wear under your shoes, like, a good pair of, like, I mean, actually, I would trade her for a pair of tubes. She's fucking Emma, but like a pair of like walk around the house socks.
Yeah. I like two blocks. I would probably trade her for a nice coupon that you weren't like a promo code that you weren't sure would work, yeah. And then it works, and you're like, oh my gosh, like oh my god, I saved $2.50. Like those are always standard, so great.
Yeah, not the standard 10% off like newsletter. Yeah, but like the 20% off for like members. Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not in, like, you're not sure if it's going to work because it hasn't worked in, like, 8 months. And you're like, let me try it. And you're like, oh, my God, this worked. Love it.
That's the best feeling, though. Like, then I actually go through with the purchase because I'm like,
me too. Like, I'm like, oh, this gold. Yeah. I saved $2.50 by spending $45. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm classic. I trade her in for any six-pack.
Yeah.
You trade her for, like, a mango White Claw, and you hate those.
You hate mango White Claws?
Is it mango that you hate? Oh no, blackberry.
Oh, black cherry. Yeah, I would take I would take one black cherry.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's with grapefruit.
Trade a white girl for a White Claw.
And tangerine. I hate those. Yeah. But I would, I'd still trade her for them.
I don't like black cherry either. I would trade Emma for a black cherry White Claw. Yeah. Not even a tall boy, a regular.
Like the small one. I was like, that's fine. I'll take that.
Hell, I'd trade her for a Coors Light. And that says a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not good beer. Not sponsored by Coors Light.
No. But we'll take it because at this point, we're out. Okay. So anyway, so now that we all know what we would trade Emma for.
An extra 5 minutes of sleep.
So apparently those were the magic words for Snake to be like, all right, I'll still marry you. So they make up, and like just as everyone's starting to panic, like, oh shit, is this wedding happening? They come running down the street in their like jeans and t-shirt, and they're like, guys, we have a wedding, and they get married, and like everyone. And then, you know, I think we cut to Wasega Beach where they're having the reception, and like Spike, you know, we see that Spike recognizes Fancy, and her name is Connie. And you know, Snake is like embarrassed. He's like, oh my god, like I have a secret of my own, and I saw a stripper. And like, we get some of the worst acting I've ever seen on this show. Like, I cannot make it through this scene of Spike trying to tease Snake about the stripper. It is
better or worse than Jenna.
I thought she did okay.
You thought she did? I couldn't. I was like,
I think it's horrible.
It was really, really bad, but I was like, she put her moves, I guess.
Honestly,
I can't with this acting. It was so bad.
The worst part for her was when Emma was like, my hair. And she's like, your hair. Like, that was horrible. That moment was absolutely horrible for me. But this one is a close second.
The entirety of Jenna.
This scene like bothers me because even as a kid, I was like, this feels so unnatural when like Spike is like, I'm gonna like say it to everyone at the wedding. Like, she's trying to tease him. And I was like, God, they could have cut that. Like, they really could have cut that because it's just so awkward for us to watch. And then she's like, just joking, I'm throwing the bouquet. And then she throws the bouquet, and Joey Jeremiah catches it. And then he has some of his own bad acting because he's like, guess I'm the lucky girl. And I hate all of this. Like,
it's bad.
I was so mad watching it. And like, this is the moment in the episode where I was like, fuck you, Perino. Like, that you don't have to sit through this episode with, because he's just skipping these. He's like, I'm not even going to watch. I'm just going to go to the next episode.
You shouldn't be allowed to do that.
And I was like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
This scene alone, like, this is torture.
You have to watch it.
Listen, it's kind of like hazing. If we had to do it, then you have to do it too. We had a dirty biscuit. You've got a dirty biscuit.
Yeah.
We said we can make it through. We're going through and through.
You know, the next time that he's just sitting down, just put it on. And if he tries to leave, chain him down.
Yeah. Like, I know we were gonna watch something good and fun, but I feel like watching White Wedding Part 1 and 2 today. Like, that's how
it must happen. Yeah. Homework. There's no way you can move on to the next episode without getting through these. You have to.
I just think, like, if he can host every Toby episode, I don't know how this can possibly be worse. Like,
I mean, honestly, this is better than most Toby episodes.
It's, yeah, like, we still get a decent amount of Manny, and I enjoy, I actually enjoyed, like, Lucy and Caitlin in these episodes. Like,
get it, Lucy.
Like, the fun, flirty 30-something friends who just want to have a good time with things. So it was relatable.
Good friends, yeah.
Yeah, for being a horrible person, Spike does have good friends.
Yeah, and so this episode
No, she's not a horrible person. She's just Spike. Emma's a horrible person.
Yeah.
Very
Spike just never, like, progressed.
Yeah.
Wise, I think.
I also find it funny how they call Emma Mini Caitlin. They're like, oh, we have the Mini Caitlin. But, like,
because she also makes bad choices in life.
I mean, yeah, because, like, well, without giving too much away, I just feel like I haven't watched all of, like, the old episodes of Degrassi Junior High and all of that, but I'm like, judging from adult Caitlin's decisions, I see how Emma is mini Caitlin.
I see it too.
Her adult decisions are, they're whack.
It makes me laugh that, like, Lucy's the one calls her out.
Lucy, but we know Lucy got her PhD. Like, she doesn't need any of these people, and that's why she's like, I'm having fun at this wedding no matter what. Like, I don't need you people in my life. So the wedding is ending. Everyone's dancing. I want to point out that Manny and Craig were dancing together, and I thought that was cute. I never noticed that before. Like, you see, like, JT and Toby try to get, like, they try to dance with Fancy before, like, her boyfriend jumps in, but, like, they pan, Handler, I don't know, but, like, you see Craig and Manny dancing, and I think for all of us cranny folks, that gives us a little hope that things will happen with them. But where this episode really ends is Emma is looking out at the, like, ugly lake that they're at, and, you know, she's got her hair blowing in the wind.
Can it blow? Can that hair really blow? I mean, we know Emma can blow.
You know, she notices Sean hanging out by, like, a tree, and he's got, like, a button down and tie, but, like, his same jeans that he wears all the time. And I'm like, I find it endearing, because I'm like, you know what, Sean, like, I know, like, you probably had to buy, like, you borrowed Tracker's, like, one shirt that he
fucking tried. Yeah, he's like, you have
cuts are also, like, super folded up.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, too long for him.
And so, like, she goes up to him, and they start dancing, and they actually have their first kiss, because I don't know if everyone, like, remembers, they've never kissed. They've been on one date. It's not a huge romance, and yet this show builds it up sometimes. Like, they've had this whole romance at this
point. Kissed?
They have a kiss.
Zoned out. I don't remember this kiss.
That is the first time they ever, like, kiss, and, like, that's their, like, that's them, like, reconciling.
But honestly, like, by the end of the episode, I'm surprised you paid attention.
Literally kiss? Oh my
God. They can't play a song like that without someone kissing. Like,
that's I found the name of the song.
What is the song? Tell us.
Let me find this shit. I don't want to lie to y'all. Okay, so the name of the song is Just Jane, and it's by Christopher Ruse, or R-O-U-S-E. Oh. So Christopher Rouse or Ruse. The name of the song is Just Jane, and he was, like, an R&B star. So it's like an R&B song.
So yeah, they have their kiss. So that is how the episode ends. And so at this point, we have to decide who a Claire is.
To be freaking kidding me. Do you flick a switch and erase me from your memory?
Well, excuse me for having loftier ambitions than just some pedestrian high school assignment.
What are you doing here? What are you doing here?
I wonder who it could be.
we need to decide who the Claire of this episode or these two episodes are. So I am going to open it up to any suggestions.
Emma.
I mean, I think Emma's a fair one, but I also feel like, I don't know, I don't like Spike's like lackluster shit.
I was leaning
I'm here for you. And she's literally like, it's great, I guess. Like, yeah, let's do this. Like, girl, I understand that you're pregnant and you're shocked, but get it together. You're the adult. There's no reason why Emma should be over here doing this shit. First things first, why did you pick Emma forever? It's Spike. I'm sorry. She makes me
I don't know, Spike too, just because I was like, Spike kind of is living in her own head this entire episode without communicating to anyone what's going on, and then getting like upset with everyone for not playing into like what she thinks is happening around her, if that makes sense. And I was just like, that seems like a clear way of like kind of being like, everything else has to revolve around me, and how could you possibly not understand?
See, the thing is, normally I would agree with y'all, but Emma just takes so many times where she just takes everything into her own fucking hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole like walking across, like, well, Spike needs to know too. And then Emma's whole like pro-life argument.
They're neck and neck, honestly. I feel like Spike is the adult, and she knows Emma. This is no surprise. Just like Homeboy says, like Sean says, you're always interfering. Like, we all know this. So we're in this situation. Why would you tell her anything if you were not ready to tell your fiance? Because you know that she's going to come there. Like, you already know this. Like,
that's like, yeah, the only reason I would fight you is, like, I didn't think she needed to tell Snake, like, that night. Like, I think, you know, she just found out she got pregnant and wanted to tell him the next day or whenever. But she told Emma first, and I was like, don't tell Emma this shit.
You dumb bitch.
Yeah, like, I get that they have, like, a different dynamic since it was just the two of them for so long. But then I feel like if Spike is, like, obviously this is a serious relationship, they're about to get married, I was like, you kind of have to change that dynamic a little, because you're introducing like a father figure to Emma, and you can't have Emma feel like she's just as powerful in your relationship if like now there's this third person involved. And I just felt like Spike kind of dropped the ball here, where it was like, even if she didn't talk to Snake first, I kind of thought she'd at least talk to like Caitlin and Lucy first and get some insight from like adult friends, not her 13-year-old daughter. And like, for them to even be debating abortion, I'm like, why are you debating this with a teenager? Like,
regardless of
her stance, like, it just is like, dude, you're like, you're just wasting time here. You're about to get married. So that's why I was like so annoyed with her.
Her even being like, I hope you'd be more supportive. Like, she's a child. Like, what are you talking about? This is your girlfriends. Like, these are your girlfriends. There we go again. Like,
there's also a like mother, like daughter moment where Spike is all like, I would hope you'd be supportive. And then like Emma and Manny are doing whatever the fuck they're doing. Like, and Emma's all like, well, I thought you'd support me.
Yeah. Learns it from her.
They're the same fucking person. And I hate them.
Like, this was like the most that I felt that I could see how Emma is Spike's daughter in a weird way, because like they always seem very different. But I was just like, oh god, they're both like really moody and just expect everyone around them to like roll with it no matter what.
Maybe would have been such a better daughter for Spike
and a wedding planner. If we're going there, like,
Manny would have been like, all right, so you got the cake wrong, we're gonna deal with this. What do you have to replace it?
She'll do her own hair, or she'll know who to go to.
Manny wouldn't have done a perm in the first fucking place.
Manny gets a male stripper for Spike. You know, she's the one who pushes for that in like a future season. So I'm just like, Manny knows what she's doing. Party planning.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Wait, what? I even forgot the whole plot. Like, why did they get that male stripper who looked like fucking Snake with a gap tooth?
It's because, like, they're broken up after Snake, like, cheats on Spike.
Oh, yeah.
Hot sauce. And then Manny's like, you know, we should have a cheer. Oh, no, Caitlin's like, we need to have a cheer up party.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's throwing around all these lame ideas. And Manny's like, we should get a stripper. And even Caitlin's like, yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, Caitlin's not the harbinger of good ideas.
Yeah. It could be a fun time, though, for the ladies.
But yes, so in this episode, it is Spike who is the Claire.
Spike is the Claire. But, I mean, in a weird way, that still makes Emma the Claire because she's her offspring. So, like...
I mean, yeah, it's just to make Emma not being a declare, like, because she still declares shit with this whole, like, I'm gonna let you know that my mom's pregnant and she's thinking of getting a divorce.
Oh my god, the way that Justin Timberlake had that album Justified, Emma should have a Claire album. It's called Clarified.
It just, like, made me mad. The whole thing.
Isn't
like
that, Justin Bieber's Justice?
There's Justice for Justin Bieber.
Justice. And then Justin
Timberlake.
Yeah.
So then I guess Claire would have one that's, like, Clearly.
Clarity.
Yeah. Whatever.
Oh, God. Fuck them all. Fuck Claire. Fuck Emma. Fuck
It pissed Maya. Me off. Like, fuck Spike Ashley. Coming in. I mean, Snake coming in super mad and, like, being like, okay, the thing about it is he knows Emma. So him being like, why did she come? Why did you send her? Like, you know Emma. You know that Spike did not send her in the middle of the night to be like, oh, I'm pregnant. Like, so that pissed me off for him to all of a sudden be like, no, it's not between, like, when she's like, Emma, really? And he's like, no, it's between you and me. I was like, I don't like this. That was just,
I felt that way too.
Like, what the fuck, man? Like, you know how Emma is. Seriously?
Honestly, it was just like, I felt for, like, everyone else in the room where I was like, this is so uncomfortable. Like, these people need to stay together because, like, they're all like Emma. It's like Emma, Spike, and Snake are the couple, and everyone else around them is like, we are giving up a Saturday for you people right now.
You see Joey that bar in the background?
Better have been open.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Joey's in the background, like, just there, and I'm like, look at fucking Joey in the background.
So we have a consensus. It's Spike.
It's Spike. Episode.
Definitely Spike.
It is Spike. Okay, so before we close out, does anyone want to plug our socials? Because I do not know them at this point of the night. Please go.
All right, so Twitter and Instagram are at lastshiftpod@gmail.com. Our webpage is lsatd.com or lastshiftatthedot.com. If you'd like to give us donations for, like, coffee donations for editing would be great, or wings or White Claw, because we love White Claw, or drinks, you can do that at the link that's going to be at the bottom of this episode. And thank you so much for listening to us.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.